Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Eric Partaker, a CEO, coach, and mentor, author, and peak performance expert. He has been named the CEO of the Year at the 2019 Business Excellence Awards. And Mr. Partaker, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, thanks very much, Eric. Excited to be here, and thanks to all those who are listening.
And I'm sure they're anxious to hear what you have to say, as well as myself. So tell us, for starters, how can three simple phone alarms transform our health, wealth, and relationships? Who wouldn't want to better those three areas of our lives?
Right. So this relates to my newest book, The Three Alarms, which is a book essentially about reaching your full potential. And I talk about the path to doing that lies in getting your identity right, optimizing your productivity, and then building your anti-fragility, which is something beyond resilience. And the three alarms relate to the identity piece. You know, lots of people think that at some point in the future, they'll start becoming their best self. Maybe at some point in the future, they'll start having better balance in their life. And the secret really is just to figure out what does best look like you now, give that a name, and then find a way to trigger that. So in the book, of course, I go into a lot more depth. But the high level on this is that I have three alarms that go off on my phone every day, and they power a best self version of me in the three domains of life that matter most. So my health, my wealth, and my relationships. So at 6:30 a.m., the first alarm on my phone goes off and it says World Fitness Champion. Not because I am one, but simply because that's the version of me that goes to the gym and works out. And that's the kind of mentality that I go to, you know, my exercise sessions with. It's that version of me who, of course, won't quit and, of course, steps into, you know, the exercise session or the workout, whether or not, you know, he feels like doing it. The next alarm goes off at 9 a.m., and I gave that best self identity, which powers the work part of my day, the name World's Best Coach, because it just prompts me to think, well, how would that version of me show up for 9 a.m.? How would that version of me act, behave, interact with my clients, with the people that, you know, I meet and speak to throughout the course of a day? And then the game-changing alarm for me goes off at 6:30 p.m., and it says World's Best Husband and Father, to prompt the question, well, how would the world's best husband and father walk through that door right now? And with all of these alarms, these best self identities that I've kind of cued on my phone at the most relevant time of day, with all of them, they prompt me to really bring intentionality into those segments of the day. You know, me at my best in each of those domains, what does that look like? How does that version of me act and behave? And the three simple alarms keep that front and center for me.
I like this. I like that a lot, and I can see how that would really work out well in getting you in the proper mindset to start each and every day. Good stuff. Now, how can one design productivity into their day with a powerful evening and morning routine? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so another topic that I go into in the book when I start to talk about productivity, and the first thing is to recognize that a productive day actually begins the night before, not the day of, and it begins with a clear mind and a good night's sleep. And so what we need to remember the night before is to sedate ourselves, but not with the typical beer or glass of wine. It's more in the creative pronunciation of the acronym SD8, so number eight, so sedate. And the S stands for a shutdown ritual. We tend to not shut down our days properly, and we should. And so that's a static appointment that you put in your calendar that you respect with yourself, just as you would as if it was someone else. It could be, you know, 6 p.m., 5:30 p.m., whenever you want your day to end, half hour before you like that day to end, you have that alarm go off or that appointment pops up in your calendar. And during that appointment, you just follow a simple checklist. So you're going to update your to-do list with any action items from the day. You're going to take a final look at your email. You're going to look at your calendar for the day ahead, You're going to choose the top three things that you would like to achieve in that day. And then, just as you schedule that shutdown appointment in your calendar as an appointment with yourself, you're going to schedule those top three things into your calendar the next day, once again, as appointments with yourself to work on exactly whatever those topics are or those subjects are. So that's shutting down your day, and that allows you to enter the evening feeling, you know, free on top of things, not feeling that you are, you know, or compelled to constantly be thinking about work. The D stands for a digital sunset. So 1 hour before bed, we need to shut off all the electronics. This is devices, you know, such as our phones, our iPads, you know, tablets, even the television, because the artificial light that comes from these devices gets picked up by the pineal gland at the center of your brain, pea-sized gland, and it ends up halting the production of melatonin, which you need to get a deep restorative night of sleep. So much so that if you're looking at any of these electronic devices in the hour before bed, it will reduce your brain's melatonin production by 50%. And that means that you'll find it difficult to get those full 8 hours. And then the eight stands for the 8 hours. And that's essential for productivity, having that shutdown ritual, the digital sunset, so you can get those 8 hours of sleep. Because if you don't have that foundation in place, you have little chance to be truly productive the next day. You're very likely to feel a bit anxious, be easily distracted, or you know, lose your focus at some point. The morning routine, two simple things that I recommend there. So one is to spike both your mood and your energy, because both relate to higher levels of productivity, with some morning exercise. So scientifically proven, exercising moderately in the morning for at least 20 minutes will spike your mood, the positive hormones in your body, for about 12 hours. Equivalent in strength to taking an antidepressant, so pretty potent stuff. And after getting some morning exercise in, I highly recommend that you start your day creative before reactive. So do not start your day on Slack, in social media, in your inbox, reading the news. That's starting your day in reactive mode. And you're basically bombarding yourself with everyone else's agenda but your own. And you'll have a much more productive day if you start your day, at least for that first hour, working on one of the top three things that you decided as part of your shutdown ritual the evening before. So I think if you install those two things, the evening routine and the morning routine, as I've just taken you through there, you'll find a significant increase in your productivity.
Certainly some added great information there to help us to be more productive throughout the day. Now, how can we add 13 weeks to our life every year? I'd love to hear your input on that.
Well, this relates to an additional routine, which will significantly improve your productivity as well. So we talked about the evening routine, because that's how a productive day starts, the night before. Then we've installed that morning routine, a little bit of morning exercise, followed by being creative before reactive. And the 13 weeks a year, so what this relates to is our workday routine. So now the workday is going. And the average person, what they tend to do is they tend to jump around from one task to the next, never staying with one thing for long enough. And the average person, as a result, loses about 28% of their workday to what they think is multitasking efficiency, but which really leads to a lot of time loss. Because every time you start, say, working on a presentation, suddenly you're doing a little bit of research. Now you're in your inbox. Now you go reheat your coffee, you sit back down, working on the presentation again, and suddenly you're in your inbox again. So you think you're handling lots of stuff and you're doing well, or maybe you realize that you're highly distracted. But in any case, what the studies show is that you can't just simply return to what you had originally intended to do. You've lost some of your momentum. You have to retrace your steps. You might have lost a key thought. All of that adds up, and that leads to a 28% loss in the day. Now, if we take that and we extrapolate that on the number of work weeks in a year, let's just call it 46, take a generous 6 weeks out of the year for vacation. The 28% loss times 46 weeks, that's 13 weeks lost per year. The average person is losing an entire calendar quarter a year. Or over the professional career, that adds up to an entire decade lost. And so what could you do with an extra quarter per year? What could you do with an extra decade? Now, the way to capture that is to master the art of single tasking. So instead of jumping around from one thing to the next, keep your phone off, out of sight, out of mind when you want to do some creative work, close down all those browser tabs, reduce all that temptation to jump around to other stuff, and focus on whatever on that one thing is, and work 100% just on that thing, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, then move on to the next. So really master the art of single tasking, and as you do that, you'll reclaim that those lost 13 weeks every year.
Certainly motivating and inspiring information so far. Really appreciate this. Today we're speaking with Mr. Eric Partaker, CEO, coach, and mentor, author, and peak performance expert. He has been named the CEO of the Year at the 2019 Business Excellence Awards, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, looking at productivity further, how can the 80-20 rule cure perfectionism and improve productivity at the same time?
Well, the 80-20 rule simply states that life is nonlinear. Our work is nonlinear. And 20% of the time that we spend on things could very likely produce 80% of the results that we seek, or 20% of your customer offering could generate 80% of your customer satisfaction. You know, 20% of the projects or the goals that you're working on could result in 80% of the results that you seek. So it's really about trying to zero in on where's the leverage, where are the things that matter most, and how do you, take an 80-20 approach to that. So the primary problem here is that people tend to focus on doing absolutely everything. But if you really look at a skill that you're trying to develop, at a business that you're trying to develop, at a new product line that you're trying to develop, if you really ask yourself, what are the factors that are most important here that will drive the most amount of revenue, the most amount of improvement, the most amount of happiness, no matter what, depending on whatever it is that it may be. 80-20 is really just a construct or a mechanism to force you to think about that. Where are the leverage points so that you don't do everything and, in fact, just do what's truly most important?
Now, in your last response, you touched on goal setting. How can one more than three times the chance of achieving our goals get into that?
Well, there's a simple little hack here called which taps into something called loss aversion. So hard-coded in our DNA is a human beings essentially are far more likely to avoid losing something than they are to try to gain something. Probably stems from our ancestors who didn't live in times of abundance and so needed to protect the resources that they had. So how we can harness this is that if you find a goal that's particularly difficult to achieve or that you failed at several times before, what some behavioral scientists from Yale University have shown is that if you create a strong negative consequence in the form of a monetary bet linked to that goal, such that if you don't achieve the goal, you're going to lose that money. But furthermore, that money can't go to someone you would be happy, to have received that money. So, for example, it doesn't really work if you're going to lose, a big sum of money or enough that will sting, and the money's going to go to your husband or your wife, or your friend, because you could arguably not be so, bothered by doing that person some good with giving them some money. But it's much more powerful if the money is donated in some way, shape, or form to perhaps a cause or a political campaign or to a group that you actually don't like, that you absolutely would not support. So you're getting this double whammy effect of, I'm going to lose an amount of money if I don't achieve this goal that will sting. Now, that's going to put you under, but that will sting, that you don't want to lose. And I'm going to have to donate it to something I really don't want to donate it to. And if you really want to spike the loss aversion and therefore your probability of achieving the goal, you could also force yourself to have to publicly proclaim with pride the donation that you've just made, should it get to that. So doing these sorts of things, creating these strong negative consequences, especially with goals that are proving difficult, can really help us because they've been shown scientifically to increase our likelihood of achieving the goal by over three times.
Yeah, one last question for you before you go. How can we build our anti-fragility and turn stress into strength?
Yeah, so it starts with just understanding, what does it mean to be anti-fragile? Anti-fragile is simply the opposite of fragile. Most people think of the opposite of fragile would be, say, something that is strong or robust or resilient, but it's not really the case. If something's fragile, it takes a couple of hits and it breaks. Something is strong or robust, well, it can take more of a beating, but eventually it will still break. If something is resilient, by definition, it can take and absorb shock, but it just returns to the same state that it was in. Anti-fragile is truly the opposite of fragile, whereby the more hits something or you take, the stronger you become. Now, the thing is that our bodies are perfect models of anti-fragility. So we're anti-fragile without even realizing it. But we stress a muscle and it causes it to grow. We expose the body to germs and bacteria, and it's what builds the immune system. And, you know, UV radiation in small doses actually repairs tissues and generates vitamin D. So anti-fragility starts by recognizing that you already practice anti-fragility physically, and you just need to move what's going on in your body already up into your head. And when you do that, you're essentially reframing stress. You're turning life into one big mental gym, one big training camp. And every moment of adversity, challenge, thing that doesn't go your way, or any stressor that you experience in the course of the day is an opportunity for you to strengthen yourself if you step into it. If you step away from it, it's the equivalent of being in the gym and your personal trainer hands you a weight and you walk out of the gym. You know, you're not gonna become stronger if you do that. So if you have this kind of anti-fragile mindset, you see stress as an opportunity to build strength in the mind just as it is in the body. So it starts with, you know, changing your point of view in that way.
Mr. Partaker, really appreciate the information and your visit with us here today. And if you're wanting to get the edge in your production and in your business following these practices and methodology, certainly would give you the edge, I have no doubt. And I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get more information on you, Eric, your services, and also pick up your book. Where's the best place to get further details?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, thanks for listening. If you've listened up to this point, really appreciate that. Number two, if you'd like to delve deeper into any of these concepts as a thank you for listening, you can head to my website at Eric Partaker, Eric with a C, ericpartaker.com. And I have a free digital copy of my best-selling book, The Three Alarms, which will allow you to go deeper into all of the things that we discussed in the podcast today. That's there waiting for you. So if you just head to the website, you can pick up a copy. And if you're a CEO, entrepreneur, leader, or somebody who just wants to reach a higher level of performance in your work or life, you can also get in touch via my website, ericpartaker.com. And I'd be happy to have a chat to see if there's any way that I can support or help you.
Yeah, certainly appreciate access to the entire book of The Three Alarms. Really appreciate that. Again, folks, it is ericpartaker.com. Mr. Partaker, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you very much, Eric. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Eric Partaker, a CEO coach and mentor, author, and peak performance expert. He's also the author of The Three Alarms, a simple system to transform your health, wealth, and relationships forever. And for all the details and to download a copy of this book, visit ericpartaker.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.